There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are on a Tuesday night. I bet you wondered where we were. We started the show about a minute late. Not my fault. Today's date is the 18th of March, 2014, and it is exactly 2 minutes and 43 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock. Remember, we've had a time change, and I'm saying that because we have a lot of people that listen to the show while it streams during the week and on the archives page, and we turned the clocks ahead here in the central part of the USA. Tonight we're going to talk about adding and subtracting, emptying and filling up, dumping out and then dumping more in. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about volume. You know, you could use all kinds of little metaphors and semantics, and you could say you've got a backpack, or you got a 5-gallon bucket, or a wheelbarrow, or a pickup truck, or a dump truck, or your hand, or a plastic Ziploc sandwich bag. It really doesn't matter, because what we're talking about is volume, about space and time and quantities. Now, notice I've talked about all kinds of things except for quality. It is almost impossible, and it, quite frankly, it may be, to have room in your heart for Jesus. It might be impossible to have any time in your day for Christ. It might be next to impossible for you to ever recognize grace in your life or in the world, if you're recognizing the world. Because that's what we're talking about on tonight's show, folks, is adding, subtracting, emptying, and then filling up. You're born into this world, and instantaneously you're retaining information, and you're given a reality, a way of life. And if you live in the United States, you live in France or Japan or South Africa or the outback of Australia, there are certain things that dictate how you conduct yourself and how you live your life, but more importantly, what is real to you? What is your reality? There's a big difference between someone that gets up in the morning, showers, and puts clean clothes on, and is stuck in commuter traffic, driving 5 to 10 miles an hour in between traffic lights, goes into a building, punches a time clock, sits in a cubicle at a desk in front of a computer screen with a telephone headset on. And they do that for 40 hours a week. There's a big difference between that and somebody that wakes up in the morning, gets dressed, goes out, lets the horses out in the pasture, does chores, works outside all day, takes breaks when they want, and it really doesn't matter where they, what they look like, and they didn't have to commute more than from the house to the barn. Their worlds are the same, but their realities are not. But yet both people would swear up and down that their lives are full, and that that is the reality, and that is their world. But yet neither one of those have anything to do with your spirit, with your soul. There is a world flesh reality, and then there's a heaven spirit reality. And the two don't mix, and they can't be in the same person at the same time. We talk a lot about how repent means change direction. We talk a lot a bit about how all your sins are forgiven and how you have to acknowledge that you're a spirit being. Is it not almost impossible for all your sins to be forgiven? Is it not almost impossible for you to repent, to change direction? Is it not almost impossible for you to know the difference between heaven and hell if you're so full of the reality of the flesh in the world? You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. And tonight we're talking about volume. How before you can have God's love, you've got to extinguish and throw away your love of the flesh in the world. And Jim, don't you see how people, they really don't have room in their lives for a life of Christ because they're so wound up just tight as an 8-day clock with concerns and cares of the flesh in the world?
Yeah, that's a good statement. Jesus made that comment when he said that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches will choke out the potential of what God can do in a person's life. He called that one of the soils. In other words, it represented people in our day that are so filled with other things. In fact, John made the comment over in 1 John in chapter 2, in verse 15, he said, "If you love the world and the things which are in the world, the love of the Father is not in you." So there's always been a great contrast in the Word of God that shows that that which is of God is God and that which is of the world is the world. And to have the world is to not have God, but to have God is to not have the world. The problem has been, and I can say this because of being a minister all these years, the problem has been that we haven't been as absolute as ministers to help draw a line in the sand to that which is really of the Spirit. And we've made so many allowances or compromises, allowing the world to become really a part of our everyday way of doing things. In fact, you know, I remember back with my grandparents and just how, you could say strict maybe they were, but the only reason why we'd use the word strict is because today things have become so loose. But back in that day, there were so many things that you just didn't do. Involvements with the world and the ways of the world, those were frowned upon. But that was normal for that day. It was that things were changing, and so they were trying to hold on to certain values of what people allowed themselves to be full of and what people then that were more integral wouldn't.
Well, look at how technology and the quality of people's lives from a materialistic financial standpoint. I'm not talking about health. I'm talking about better housing, better, more food, more clothes, better neighborhoods. I remember when I was a kid, we just called it Sunday, but a lot of people called it a Blue Sunday, which meant that nothing was open. I mean, a gas station, a bakery.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there wasn't, nothing was open except for maybe the emergency room in a hospital.
Right.
Everything was closed on Sundays. It didn't matter what it was, how important it was. If you ran out of gas, I do remember this. In the town that I grew up in, The police department had keys to all the gas stations in town. And every Sunday, it was a different gas station's time where the police would open up the gas station, turn a pump on, and they could sell gas to somebody. But here's the thing. The only people they sold gas to were people that were driving cars from out of state.
Hmm.
Because they knew that they were traveling across country.
Right.
But if you had a vehicle, no matter what your story was, no matter how much you begged and pleaded, if you had, like if it was Oklahoma,
right.
And your vehicle had Oklahoma plates and you were out of gas or you wanted to go somewhere, you had to wait till Monday. And there still are a few small towns across the country like that. But it was a day of rest.
Maybe that's why it was a big deal to get gassed up on Saturdays and wash your cars.
It was. And I remember, and this is, we're not going back that far. I remember how shocked I was a few years ago to find out that the bank I bank at is open on Sundays now.
Hmm.
They've got one branch that's open 7 days a week from 8 in the morning until 7 at night. You can literally do banking 7 days a week. I remember when they called it banking hours, when it was 9 to 5, Monday through Fridays.
Right.
And people would say, what kind of job do you have? I have banking hours. That's what it meant.
Right.
I'm amazed that how we keep changing. You know, major holidays meant that the world came to a grinding stop.
Sure.
Not anymore. Grocery stores, now it's getting to the point that even on Christmas, stores are only closed for just a brief time. They close at like 7, 8 o'clock Christmas Eve, and they're closed Christmas Day, but then they're open again Christmas night. They don't stay closed very often.
Yeah, but not all of them.
No.
Because now all your Walmarts, all those are open just every single day of the year.
Gas stations, I mean, and here's the reason they're open. Because they know people are going to come and spend money. And so this is a great testament to how people are more focused on themselves.
Right.
More focused on the needs and the desires of the flesh and the world than they are on their own spirit and anything spiritual.
But and it says that there's nothing really sacred anymore. Because I remember growing up where Sunday was a day, we just called it that, a day of rest.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed to play with friends. We weren't allowed to go anywhere. Your food was provided right there in the home. And in the afternoon, you know, you'd read. You know, some, as we got older and we got a TV, I'd watch some football games in the afternoon. And I remember, and then you'd went to church at night, and then when you went home, it didn't matter if it was 8:30, you'd be in bed.
The only thing that my grandparents did on Sundays was harvest. I mean, there was three things that took priority over everything, and I still am that way today. When we bale hay at the ranch, everything comes to a halt. When it's time to bale hay, we bale hay, and we don't stop for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that way when I was a kid. It didn't have nothing to do with Sunday. When it was time to bale hay, we baled hay. When it was time to harvest the corn and the soybeans, it was the same thing. You start, you go till you're done. But that was it. Nothing else.
Hmm.
And Sundays were... Well, everybody would go, you know, into town, but me, I'd stay home with the animals and have fun. But I think if people understand that it's really tough to see grace when your life is so full of the world, there's no room.
Right, right. Right.
I mean, there's literally no room. Whatever you want to say, you can say it's a suitcase, you can say it's a wheelbarrow or a 5-gallon bucket. Or a trunk of a car, the container doesn't matter. But what we're talking about is there's only so many hours in the day. You only have so much ability to see and hear and feel and sense things. Are you hearing, seeing, and sensing God's love? Or are you hearing and sensing and feeling the world? There's a choice to be made.
Right.
There's only so much room and only so much each person. And remember, what was that guy's name, Donald, who walked with Jesus on the water? What was his name? Donnie? Donald?
Peter.
I was close. Oh, man, I was really close. And look at what he was. He was so full of the conversation. He was so full of grace that he was walking on water with Jesus. And all of a sudden, what did he do? He switched from concentrating on just enjoying the conversation to realizing that this was impossible, improbable, and you shouldn't be able to do this.
Right, right.
He started to open up his mind, his consciousness, his sentence. So he pushed grace out of the way to make room for the flesh in the world.
Right, right.
And that's when he started getting wet. This is what we're talking about.
Sure, yeah.
We need to give people the text message.
Okay, go ahead and do that.
We got our first text message. All it says is cookies. Did you get cookies? I didn't get cookies.
I didn't get cookies either.
I know, but it says cookies. Folks, the way you text the show...
Maybe the rest of the message is cookies are coming.
Well, I don't know. It's just one word, cookies. I have no idea what they mean by that. The way you text the show, folks, is the first word that you type is the word grace. That's the first word that you need to type is grace. Then you finish typing your text message and you send it to this five-digit number, 69302. 69302. If you would like to email the show, we love emails, we love texts. It's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence, all one word. No capital letters, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. Text 69302. All this information is available on the radio show's website on the contacts page. We've actually got an interesting email that we received 13 hours ago. It says, greetings to the pasteurizer, the horseman, and the wonder dog. I like that. It says, have a question for you. I was going over Genesis and was wondering when God told Adam to subdue the earth, what is your take on that? I have heard a number of opinions on what this means. Was also wondering if we are still to subdue or if it's even necessary. Is this a dispensation of grace? Looking forward to Jim's visit this coming weekend in Stanley, North Carolina. Are you going to North Carolina this weekend?
I am, yep.
And then it says, BJ, I am sending a box of saltwater taffy to the P.O. box today. There we go. See, now we're talking. Now we're getting down to some serious information here.
Saltwater taffy.
Yep, at the P.O. box. In case Jim doesn't have any room in his suitcase, after I give him a batch of huge homemade chocolate chip cookies. Okay, I'll give you some saltwater taffy if you give me some cookies. But if I don't get it...
I think we can make a trade.
Hey, if I don't get... And I'm not talking about... You can't go to like the gas station and buy some low-rent chocolate chip cookies. They better be huge homemade ones. But I'll trade you saltwater taffy for cookies.
Okay.
And then it says, continuing to grow in my relationship with him, and I'm loving being able to see grace all around me. Thanks for what you share on your show. It is definitely having an impact on my life. And this is from someone named Elaine in Charlotte, North Carolina. Todd and Cheryl are listening in Broken Arrow. So hello to them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
Okay, let's talk about this because this really has to do with this person's talking about subduing, which
means,
you know, to control, to guard, to look out for.
Right, right.
Well, and then they're asking if it's still necessary.
Yeah, well, in the passage they're talking about, it's in the 28th verse of Genesis, and when the Lord made man in his image and his likeness, he gives them dominion over the works of his hands. And he said to them as a command, he said, multiply and replenish the earth. And then he said, and subdue it. And then following that, he said, And I give you dominion over all the works of my hands, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. So he's just talking about the ownership that we have, the responsibility that we have. And then he brings in the whole idea of dominion or authority. And that authority and dominion has been given back to us by Jesus. That's what Jesus came and he purchased back that authority or dominion. That's what he said in Matthew chapter 28 when he said, "All authority has been given unto me," or "power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples." In other words, I'm going to give you this power and this authority. So that authority that we have, that power that we have, allows us to subdue the earth. You know, in the early church, they were doing, obviously, a good enough job of subduing the earth that the Bible says comments were made about the disciples, that the disciples turned the world upside down. Well, today, this is the way I see it. The world's turned Christians upside down. We haven't turned the world upside down. It's the opposite. So I don't think that we're doing a really good job of subduing the earth. Is it possible? Yes. Is it in this dispensation? Well, of course it would be, especially a dispensation of God's grace. It's time for us to, if you will, act as spiritual beings, have plenty of testimonies and evidence of what God can do and what God wants to do in his love and his kindness. And those are the things that challenge the world where the world can't say anything. And this is what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 before he went to heaven.
We got another text that says, the person who sent cookies, they said, "I just wanted to say cookies just because they're fun."
Okay.
I don't think cookies are fun. I think cookies can be good, but there's bad cookies out there.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad cookies.
Oh, man. My neighbor baked some cookies yesterday that if I had hogs on this ranch,
they wouldn't like them either, huh?
I wouldn't feed them to the hogs.
Oh, they're bad.
Yeah. And since you brought up pigs, Jim, I just want you to know, never trust a man who will rent a pig.
Why would you rent a pig?
You just don't want to trust someone who rents pigs.
Okay.
But I just wanted to mention that since you brought up pigs.
Is that a country saying?
No, I got that when I was in Manhattan. Well, does it sound like a big city saying, don't trust a man who rents pigs?
But what I mean is, did you just make that up, or is that a saying that people know?
No, it's like a rule of law in the country.
Okay.
You don't trust somebody who rents out pigs.
Okay.
Can we try to stay on topic?
Well, I'm just trying to get the whole, why would you rent pigs?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about volume here.
Yes, we are.
But, I'll step aside. It's your show.
Did you know there was a whole big to-do about pigs in the Bible?
There was?
Well, yeah. Remember, Jesus cast those devils out of that guy, and those devils asked if they could go into the pigs. And when they went into the pigs all ran over the cliff and drowned themselves.
They did?
Yeah.
Man, that's...
Those were probably rented.
Maybe. That's a waste of good bacon.
It is totally a waste of good bacon.
I like bacon.
Yeah. I like it crispy.
No, I see. I like it. I like
know,
it.
I can't believe you do. I can't believe...
Why?
You like it flabby and barely on the skillet.
I like bacon that is soft, flimsy, and dripping with grease. Yeah.
Well, I don't mind the dripping. I just need it a little bit crispy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can't choose something that's going to chew back, you know? I like it crispy.
How do you like your steaks?
I like those medium.
Oh, see, I like
very
my...
Very soft.
I like my steaks medium rare.
Well... I have to have it. I can't have it red. It has to be pink.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, volume. Talking about...
What? I didn't say anything. What are you sitting over there laughing for?
I just had a laugh. Okay, I've got a good scripture that'll help us. You know, Jesus made a lot of good comments about these things. In fact, I think there's a lot of scriptures that we can bring in here tonight. And there's probably a lot of scriptures that I'm overlooking, too, but... I like this right here. He speaks, and this is Matthew 23:25, and he talks here to the Pharisees, and he says, "You're hopeless, you religion scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You burnish the surface of your cups and bowls so they sparkle in the sun, while the insides are maggoty with your greed and gluttony. Stupid Pharisee, scour the insides, and then the gleaming surface will mean something. So in this passage here, I'm bringing to light that the Lord is showing us that the inside of a person is where everything counts. What's on the inside of you? What's coming out of you? What are you putting in you? And the very fact that all of us know that we're like sponges, and you get even a little kid around knowledge and they just soak it in. They just learn very quickly. Well, this is how we're supposed to be concerning spiritual things, learning very quickly. And I like how Jesus shows here that the inside, even if the outside looks good, the inside can be full of things that are not helpful, not to the spiritual man.
One reason why children learn, they say it's a lot easier for a child to learn a foreign language than an adult. They say it's a lot easier for a younger person to learn and retain more information than it is for an adult. And the only reason is that an adult is preoccupied. They got a lot more stuff going on in their lives. They've got more on their plate.
Uh-huh.
It's like if somebody can remember a rainy afternoon when you couldn't play outside, seemed like it lasted forever.
Forever, yeah.
I mean, it was just the longest day of your life.
Right.
It took forever. And if you talk to somebody, they'll say, as they get older, time seems to go by faster.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is because they're more preoccupied.
Right.
They've got more things on their mind. And this is why that is so important, where it says there's nothing good, there's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh. We're talking about volume. How can you recognize grace? How in the world can you take advantage of grace when your mind is focused and filled with the things that God could care less about?
Right.
I mean, I don't understand why people focus on pain, why they focus on swelling, and why they focus on doctors' examinations and biopsies and tests, when it says right there, before you say something bad, before you look at somebody the wrong way, before you steal something, just mutilate your body. People should look at that and say, if they're telling you to take your eye out and cut your tongue out and cut your hand off, apparently this entire book has nothing to do with your body.
Yeah.
It's hard to be healed.
Right.
It's hard to be healed. It's impossible to be healed if you're focusing on diagnostics and testing and pain and hospital beds instead of the love of Christ.
Right.
It's one or the other. It goes exactly to the heart of what we're talking about. It's about volume, space. Where is your focus? Where's your energy?
Right.
What's consuming you? What are you allowing to have in your life?
Yeah, but these thoughts here that you're bringing out, for the most part, I mean, if you were to ask the normal person, they would have no concept of that, because everything about what their body says is what's real. And again, this goes back to the fact that your soul, it's always going to gravitate to whatever's more real. So if your flesh is more real, it gravitates to your flesh. If your spirit's more real, it gravitates to your spirit.
You really can't hold somebody blamable, because they're born into an unrealistic world, a reality of the flesh and the world. They're not born into a reality of Christ.
Right.
They're really not. Other than going to some building or structure on a Sunday, other than getting dipped in a kiddie pool and a few nice words said over you, that's really the extent of people's time trying to have a relationship with the guys.
Right.
And it gets worse. You know, we talked about Sundays and holidays. It's not like that. It's not going to be like that for very much longer.
No.
And here's something interesting. When's Easter? Isn't Easter supposed to be a Christian thing?
Well, I mean, we kind of adopted Easter as the resurrection, but I mean, it didn't start out that way. It started Easter. The whole idea of Easter started out as some futility god or something way back in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But we kind of adopted it here as a holiday, all around the idea that Jesus rose again. So it's.
Oh well, never mind. It wouldn't be worth it to bring it up. I was going to say something, but never mind. Because I don't. I mean, other than shooting rabbits and cooking them in chocolate, I'm really not sure what Easter is all about. But we got an email here. I recognize the name. It says, "Hello, Ranger Jim and BJ. I missed you all last week." Well, we missed her. It says, "Looking forward to tonight's show. Hello, Mom and Dad in Morgan Hill, California. And hello, Dave and Barb in Minnesota."
Sue.
It's Sue. "Would you all please pray for my father-in-law, Rick, who's been diagnosed with bone marrow cancer and is in the hospital?" Well, we just kind of brought that up, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it says, "Thank you, Sue, in California." So if somebody wants to wish Sue's father-in-law, Rick, well, can do that. But we just talked about, you know, the
right.
The focus. All right, we got one here. It says, "Ranger, BJ, and Jim, looking forward to the North Carolina trip this weekend. Tonight's show, off to a great start. Love to hear you guys talk a little more about the concept of what the authority that Jesus said he had been given provides to us and how we can reduce what we are doing to limit that authority. In other words, if we have access to that authority, what holds us back from walking like Jesus did here on the earth? All the best. See you this weekend, Ed from North Carolina." Isn't Ed the guy that's taking you out for breakfast?
Right. Yep. On Monday.
We just got a text that says, "Please help us with ignoring the body specifically." And then it says, "Thank you. Please help us with ignoring the body specifically. Thanks."
Well, the whole thing about ignoring the body has to do with recognizing, is your body you? The body's not you. The spirit's you. And so you don't give your body, in a sense you could say, you don't give your body the time of day as far as the value you put on your body. You give your connection with God the time of day. You keep yourself in a place where spiritually you're more aware of God. You're more aware of your connection with God than you are of your body. Well, you say, well, how in the world do I do this? Well, the very fact that we're describing this and myself, the very fact that I've had to come to learn this says so much about how we've not been taught over the years. How we've been so, if you will, convoluted with all kinds of ideas that are religious that aren't spiritual by nature. Just the fact that Jesus made reference over in John chapter 4, he said, if you're going to worship the Father, you have to worship the Father in spirit and truth. Nowhere in there did he say, you're going to worship God with your body. Now, I know we in certain charismatic Pentecostal circles, you know, people will dance or they'll raise their hands and shout hallelujah and they'll get happy, you know, and their flesh will get happy, and that's fine. But notice here, he has nothing about the body as far as worship. It's about the spirit and it's about the world of reality. What is real in God? Spirit and truth. And so that helps you to see right there. And the things that BJ's been talking about, where he uses a scripture that says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand is getting ready to steal, cut it off. He's trying to say there that the flesh should never control you and manipulate you and hinder your spirit from enjoying the Lord.
And it shouldn't be your focus.
Right.
And it shouldn't take up all of your mental time, your thoughts. And as far as this text, it's saying, please help us with ignoring the body specifically. Well, this is a very well-known fact. As you get older, the more physically active you are, the longer you work, the more active you are, the longer you live, and the happier you are. But if you just sit around looking out the window, watching television, I mean, you really go to pot fast.
Right.
I mean, you decay. I was worried about that with my grandmother when my grandfather died. I mean, I sold my business, moved back home, and took over, and I made sure we were gone. I mean, it was 2 days after my grandfather was in the ground. I went down to a Ford dealership, bought a brand new Ford pickup truck, middle of winter, and me and Grandma are four-wheeling in the snow.
Hmm.
We'd come home from an all-day, you know, driving the truck somewhere.
Right.
And the back porch would be stuffed with, like, cookies, homemade bread, casseroles, you know, because that's what they do in farm country,
right,
you know.
Right.
They figure that, you know, that you're going to grieve with a full stomach. And it's just the opposite.
Right.
You know, you have no appetite.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, and there'd be notes on the door. Where are you? Where has your wild cowboy taken you? Where is that?
Right.
You know, where is that bad seed grandson done with you? You know, and she'd say, oh, well, we went four-wheeling, and he took me driving around on a frozen lake talking to ice fishermen. I kept her busy.
Right.
I kept her motivated.
Sure.
I did. I mean, you know, it's okay. It says, oh, we got one here. It says, somebody wants to know if they can. Oh, it says, hey, Ed, can I tag along for breakfast Monday? Nick, the forklift driver. Well, he can contact Nick, you know.
Sure.
Nick can contact Ed and figure that out. Well, I don't know. Do you want, you know, maybe not. Maybe Ed just wants to have you to himself to ask personal questions.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ed is going. I think Tim is going. So, I don't know.
Maybe, well, I know.
You guys can make a connection.
Well, maybe.
Between Ed and Nick.
Maybe Nick can buy everybody's breakfast.
Maybe that's what he'll need to do.
Yeah.
Maybe. In order to go along.
Yeah, maybe if Nick wants to go along, he can just buy everybody's breakfast.
Now, this is going to be in Stanley, North Carolina. So, I'm just wondering where Nick is. If Nick is in, I don't know what part of North Carolina Nick is in. Anyhow, I'll be ministering in Wilson, North Carolina on Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, and then I'll be heading to Stanley Sunday afternoon, Monday night.
We got an email here. It says, hello to the show, Jim and BJ. If I'm connected to God and at the same time I'm seeing testimonies, but things don't seem to be working out for me financially, also wanted to say hello to you, Jim. It's been a long time since we spoke about coming out to Oklahoma. Are you still having classes? And this is from someone named Calvin. Are you still doing classes?
No. No, well, we're just doing the Wednesday night.
Well,
which is the Bible study.
Here's the thing I don't understand. It says, if I'm connected, and see, I hate that word if. If I'm connected in God and at the same time I'm seeing testimonies, but things don't seem to be working out for me financially. See, that's the thing that catches a lot of people in their lives, is they'll say, and it's like saying, I know there's a God, I know God is real, I know He loves me, and yes, Scripture says all prayers are answered, but I've never had a prayer answered, and I've never seen grace, and God has never even knocked on my front door wanting to borrow a cup of sugar, let alone spent much time in my life. See, it's like a positive and a negative.
Right.
And wondering about why something hasn't occurred is what we're talking about. Because if your thoughts and your feelings and emotions are focusing on financial troubles like bills, loans,
right.
credit cards, whatever, or your thoughts and your time is focused on pain, doctor's bills, diagnostic tests, well, what are you not doing then? You have literally made a left turn into the world. Your click's off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the only time in Scripture where someone chooses or is off the mark, it's real obvious. Jesus hasn't had a meal in 40 days. Someone says, you got to be hungry. For a second, he thought about it. Hey, wait a minute. I haven't had a meal, not even a sandwich in 40 days. Yeah, I should be hungry. And for a second, what happened?
Yeah.
And if you look at Scripture, there's a point here. He was crucified, and then he was sent to hell for 72 hours before he arose and went to heaven. That is a great testimony to what we're talking about here.
Right, right.
That no matter how bad things get, you can make them worse. But if you turn towards Christ, if you believe in him and you turn it over to God, that it will be better than it ever was worse, or even better than it was before things went bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is something that's lost in Scripture in many, many places.
Right, right. Well, you know, if I look at Scripture now that we've been talking like this for the last couple of years and sharing these type of things, when I look at Scriptures, it really speaks to me. I mean, it jumps out at me. Everything about the Bible is trying to help you just to accept that there's another reality, that there is another world, that God is real, and not just God being real, that everything about God in your life makes everything about your life different. And so even to this, for Calvin that gives this email, if things are not going in your finances, but you're seeing testimonies of God in your life, then to me it only means one thing. There's a limitation. You're limiting. In other words, you've got to change the way that you think about your finances. Change the way that you think about money, because you have to be limiting God. Because if the power of God is working in you and you're seeing things happen, then there's only one thing that it can say. What else do you have?
Well, Nick sent an email now, and he said he's in some place called... He says, I'm in Statesville.
Okay.
Almost sounds like he's in a prison. Is he in prison?
No, Statesville is...
Is there a prison in Statesville?
I don't know. But Statesville is about an hour, maybe not totally an hour, but maybe about 40 minutes from where I'm going to be preaching the
first
weekend.
It literally just says, I'm in Statesville.
Yeah.
That sounds ominous.
No, I've been to Statesville. I've preached there.
It says, I asked through the show because I don't know how to contact Ed or Tim otherwise. Either way, I should be able to attend Sunday and Monday. And then it says, P.S. Besides, you're always saying you love it when folks communicate via the show. So that's the email.
Okay.
Boy, Nick's fired up tonight.
You know, Nick, of course, you know your own state better than I do, but I think I've got about a four-hour drive from Wilson down to Stanley.
What
Sunday afternoon.
What state is Statesville in?
It's North Carolina.
Now...
let me read this one scripture here that is in Isaiah chapter 54, because it's kind of one of the ones that BJ and I were talking about earlier that really speaks highly to what we're saying here. Let's see, Isaiah 54 and verse 1, it says, Sing, O barren, I'm going to put it into the King James, New King James. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are children of the desolate than children of the married woman, says the Lord. Okay, this is the part here. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you shall not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. All right, well, I look at a scripture like that, BJ, and I think that says right what we're endeavoring to talk about, and that is we are containers, and we are to fill ourselves with Spirit, fill ourselves with God, fill our lives with spiritual thinking.
And it's hard to do that when you're full of the world.
Right. Right.
You know, I'll give people a really good example, and this happened yesterday here on the ranch. We're getting bigger, and I'm expanding the ranch, you know, and you've been helping out. I put Jim to work, folks. He's actually a pretty good worker when he shows up.
Well,
when are you available to work again?
Probably Thursday, or... I leave Friday, so possibly tomorrow I can do some, and possibly Thursday too.
Well, anyways, I'm hiring new people on the ranch, and it was windy yesterday. And I'm showing them the ranch and talking about some of the duties and responsibilities that someone has and what we require out of them. And, I mean, I'm talking 25 to 30 mile an hour winds. And we're standing there, and I'm pointing at something,
And this huge wind comes by, and it's just full of sand, dirt, and grit, because we're by the paddocks,
right?
Where there is no grass, it's just dirt,
right?
And we're just getting covered with grit. And I'm talking, and I'm pointing at things, and they're squinting, and they've got their mouth open, and, you know, they got dirt in their mouth, and they're trying to wipe their eyes, and they look at me, and they say, isn't this wind bothering you? And I didn't think about what I said. I literally just said it. I go, what wind? And then they said, well, the weather right now. And I said, if I waited for the weather to be perfect, I'd never get anything done around this ranch. And I says, we don't stop. We don't think about if it's too cold or if it's too hot. I says, there are things that have to get done, and they have to get done on a daily basis, and we do them no matter what.
Sure.
And they just says, oh. And then they just says, well, I can't really imagine, you know, that what could possibly you do? It's really windy out here. And they said, look, there goes a real big tumbleweed and, you know, and stuff. And I've kind of shortened up the interview, and we got back to the barn, and when one of the cowgirls working here, she says, well, I guess you're not hiring that person. And I go, why? And he says, well, that was a pretty fast interview. Usually it takes 15, 20 minutes. You were back to the barn in less than five.
Right.
And I said, well, you may not be aware of this, but it's too windy for us today. And she just says, yeah, that's the last thing we need around here. Someone that says it's too windy to work.
Right.
But see, apply this to your life.
Sure.
You know, it's and I see this all the time. I mean, I'll be in a store, or I'll see something, or in a television show. I saw it the other night. This guy says, well, it's going to rain. Well, how do you know it's going to rain? He says, well, I got a bad knee, and my knee always swells and hurts before it rains.
Hmm.
What is up with that?
Right, right. Yeah, well, he's almost bragging about the fact that he can forecast the weather.
He's planning it.
Yeah.
And see, this is what people do. We had we've had texts and emails saying, give us examples of how full we are.
Right.
You know, or like, I didn't get much sleep last night. Boy, am I going to be tired today. Or boy, I knew I shouldn't have eaten that. It always upsets my stomach.
Right.
Well, I know this is fun right now, but I'm going to pay for this later. What in the world are they thinking? They're literally planning disasters and discomfort.
Right, right.
Why shouldn't they say, I was having so much fun, and it was great fellowship, and it was a good time last night. We should have stayed up all night long. I really should have put grace through the paces. It's going to be a great day today. Thank you, Jesus. And it would be.
Well, it would be, but when you make those statements like that, which are so real for everybody,
and they're common,
it just shows you that on the great majority of the people that live on this planet, people don't even take into consideration at all that there's something beyond what they can see and what they can feel.
Well, people are so full. Remember, we're talking about volume. They can't remove these things to replace them with the volume of God and grace and Jesus' love, because they even apply it to other people.
Right.
Well, you told me yesterday after work that you were going out drinking with everybody. Boy, you're not going to be much good today, are you? You've literally just sales pitched someone into being sluggish.
Right, right.
Because you've literally, and what are they going to think? Well, they just told me I look bad and I'm going to feel bad. So, you know what? I am.
Yeah. Well, what does that say, though? It says that their body and what they know about their body is their sole means of being able to function.
Well, and look at it this way. This makes no sense. I am so sorry the doctor says that you're dying. I'm so sorry that... No, here's one. I'm so sorry that the doctor says that you have arthritis in your shoulder. Oh, I bet it hurts. I wish there was something I could do to take that pain away. Let's pray. Are you kidding me?
Hmm.
What? That is ridiculous.
Right.
You're giving sympathy and empathy. And you're not only is this person full of the flesh and the world, but you're packing it to the rafters.
Yeah, right.
Because you're saying, I feel bad for your pain. I feel sorry that the doctor told you that you have arthritis in your shoulder. Now let's pray. What good is that?
Sure, sure.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
If someone came up to me and said, I had a doctor that said I have arthritis and that's why my shoulder is sore, I'd say, so what? Well, don't you care? No, I could care less what a doctor says. I don't care about your pain. There is no pain. If you don't want pain, there is no pain. If you don't want any pain, tell God that you don't want any pain. Instead of spending time at the doctor,
right.
Instead of spending right. time and money at the doctor, go buy a hot fudge sundae and thank God for the fact that you can scoop it in because your shoulder doesn't hurt anymore. Now there's a prayer.
Right. Right.
Because now you've painted God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and grace. You've forced them all into a corner to put up or shut up. Well, wait a minute. He wants to eat ice cream, and he wants to use the shoulder that hurts. We've got to fix it. Scripture says so.
Sure, sure.
But when you say, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, let me help you. Remember, people could not believe it. When that woman said, when can I come out to the ranch? And I said, not as long as you're in a wheelchair.
Right.
When you can walk.
Yeah.
And she says, hey, big cowboy, you big, strong, good-looking cowboy, can you help me hold the door open for me? And I says, no, there's a handicap ramp down there. You do it yourself. It's hot out here. I'm going to go inside where the air conditioning is. And I literally just left her out in the parking lot in her wheelchair. But you know what? She got mad. But you know what she did?
She wheeled herself.
She opened up the door, and she let herself in. And that was the first time, because she would sit out there for I watched her. She'd sit out there for 20 minutes waiting for someone else to come and park so that she could say, help me. How does that person ever have room in their minor heart for grace?
Right.
That's
right.
What we're talking about here.
Yeah, yeah. Good illustration. I even look at Jesus over in John chapter 2. And some of you know this story here. And he went there on the Passover feast where the Jews were celebrating. It says that Jesus traveled up to Jerusalem, and he found the temple teeming with people selling cattle and sheep and doves. The loan sharks were also there in full strength. Jesus put together a whip out of straps of leather and chased them out of the temple, stampeding the sheep and cattle, upending the tables of the loan sharks, spilling coins left and right, and he told the dove merchants, get your things out of here, stop turning my father's house into a shopping mall. That's when his disciples remembered the scripture, zeal for your house consumes me. Well, think of what Jesus was doing here. He shows you, just by, you could say, the righteous indignation that he has, he shows you how important it is to keep your temple clean, free, and unspotted, you could say, from the flesh and the world. Because we're talking about volume tonight. What are you filling yourself with? If you're filling yourself with the flesh and the world, if Jesus had a whip, he'd be going after you to get it out of you. In fact, if you look at all the messages of Paul, Paul's always trying to help ward off people going back to the way that they used to think, because he realizes in humanity, it just seems to be the way most people are, that they'll always go back, if they don't use something new on purpose, they'll always revert back to what they know, to how they've lived, to what's their reality. You know, it's like having a new tool, but you're just so used to using the old one, that even though the new tool will do the job in half the time, instead of spending time to get used to the new tool, you'll just use the old tool and just keep doing things the way you used to. Well, this is what Jesus did. It says here concerning the temple. He went after everything that was in the temple that shouldn't have been there. And tonight, talking about volume, we need to look at our lives, open up and see, are there things in there? Is our way of thinking and way of living such that we're really not getting our prayers answered? I mean, look at how, BJ, when you made the comments even about, you know, the prayer, we're gonna just heap all this, you know, you just feel so bad, the arthritis is so bad, but here, let me pray. Well, then think about it this way. How about so many people that would call themselves Christians that would say, And I mean, I've done this myself in the past. Thank God I'm learning something. And I want everybody on the show here to learn too. But how many times have we done this? We pray a prayer. Lord, we just ask you to, you know, to touch us right now. We know we're not supposed to have this arthritis. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. And before we get the prayer, amen, we're already on our way to the cabinet to get Tylenol, to get Advil, to get some type of pain reliever, which does what? It pretty much undoes the fact that there was no conviction in the prayer.
Or oh, I'm so blessed to have a good surgeon. God loves me and God is great because I have a great doctor.
Right.
Oh, I'm so grateful to Jesus because my doctor gave me a free bottle of pills.
Well, then why don't you take it to the financial part and say, I better get a third job. Two jobs aren't enough.
Yeah.
I mean, what part of that then says God could provide for you?
You know, I don't even know if we have anybody listening. I mean, I know that Todd and Cheryl and Nick and Dave and Barbara Sue are listening. You know, I got an idea. Are you ready for it?
I am.
Okay, we're talking about volume and we're giving people examples. I think it would be kind of nice if people would send us emails and texts right now with something that they instantly identify that needs to go.
Okay.
We're talking about taking things out of our lives, out of our minds and hearts, out of our reality, so that there's room for the guys and grace.
Okay.
So I think as people are listening to the show and we're talking about this, I think it would be kind of neat if people just sent, you know, like, you know, little phrases or words or something that they're saying, you know, I'm listening to what Jim is saying, and this is something that's in my way.
Right.
And I'm going to, because you can't know that there's a problem. I mean, you can't fix something or change something or get rid of something until you know it's bad and wrong and it's broke.
Right, right.
It doesn't do you any good to talk about it if you don't acknowledge it.
Sure.
And so let's do this. We already got a text. It says, time watching TV at all. So apparently this guy spends a lot of time watching TV. I know my neighbor's got a really bad problem. He's got a really nice set of kids. He's got a really nice wife. He's got a real nice little acreage, but he's never home. You know, want to know why?
Hmm.
I didn't even know they cost this much. He has a $50,000 bass boat.
Wow.
And he is always going bass fishing.
Hmm.
I mean, he's missed birthdays. I saw him on the highway when I was doing chores this last Christmas. I saw him head out in the morning with his pickup truck and his bass boat.
Wow.
Going bass fishing on Christmas Day. I mean, and I saw his wife, and she says, well, he's always gone. She says, one of these days, I'm going to blow that bass boat up.
I'll tell you what.
And she says, what do you think? And I says, well, if you ever want to blow up a boat, I says, I just call me on the phone. I says, you got some great ingredients under your kitchen sink to make a homemade bomb. I says, everybody does. I says, there's plenty of products in the kitchen house to make a whopper of a bomb. So it takes about 10 minutes and kaboom. And she just laughed and she says, you know such weird things.
Maybe you've used some of those things.
But the point is that there's bowling, there's hobbies. I'll tell you the big one. It's got to be the internet and computers.
Huh. Yeah.
I call people all the time and they're playing solitaire.
Sure.
Or bingo.
Right.
Or online poker. Or you know, all that stuff. Here's another text that says, I personally need to remove my familiar schedule because there's too many distractions scheduled into my day. And so, folks, come on, pony up.
Yeah.
And step up, because if you can text it or you can email it to Jim's show,
right,
and you can stand a total stranger, myself, reading him, then possibly that is the motivation and the public acknowledge that you need to do something about it. And I'll make you a deal here. I'm not going to say any names. We're not going to say, Bob said this, or Daryl, or Chuck, or Jody, or whatever.
Okay.
I'm not going to mention any more names for the rest of the show. And you can send an email to the name of the show. There's no spaces or capital letters. It's the Abiding Presence at Gmail. G, the letter G, Gmail. Or you can send a high-speed text. The first word that you want to type is the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace. And then after you type grace, say what's in your way. Get rid of something. Let's do this tonight as a group on Jim's show. Just pick one thing. Not too much TV, too many schedules, one thing after another. Because if you make room in your mind, you have room in your heart.
Sure.
And if you have room in your heart, then you have room to acknowledge grace.
Right.
And if you can acknowledge grace, you can see grace. And if you can see grace, then you can use grace. But that's not going to happen if your day is full from the day you, from the time you get it. And I'll give you a tip. If you want to know what you should get rid of, if you wake up in the morning before you're out of bed into the bathroom, if you have a thought and it's not a happy one, maybe that should be the first thing on your list to sure. get chucked out the door.
Sure. And how many people could write in and say that they want to get rid of being so ever-living conscious of their pain, of their sickness, of their illness? So these are some of the other things, too, that just consume people. Look at how many folks, because of their pain, are counting out pain medications. I know my uncle, my mom went to her sister, and my uncle basically took, you know, a good portion of the morning just to count out how many pills he needed to take that morning, a good portion of the afternoon to do it again, and a good portion of the evening to do it again. I mean, by the time you're done, basically you could say most of your day was counting pills.
The neurosurgeon that took all that stuff out of my back,
right,
and all the other doctors and everybody else, when I came back to the ranch, I measured it. I had an inch and a half stack for prescriptions,
right,
that I never filled. I mean, some of them, I didn't even know what they were. I mean, I must have had enough prescriptions for pain pills to knock an elephant out for a year, and I just never filled them.
Right.
I just never did. And it's just me. I'm not a big fan. I never have been a big fan of drugs. I don't like using a lot of drugs. Sounds crazy because it's my business, but I've never really been a big fan of using a lot of drugs on horses. And ever since I've known the guys, I've thrown a lot of the drugs out, off my truck away. And yeah, and Ranger, we were running pretty fast today chasing horses. They couldn't hear us call them up to the barn, so we were going about 15-20 miles an hour across the field, which is pretty fast. And Ranger lost her footing and fell out of the back of the UTV.
Okay.
And I saw her. I looked in the rearview mirror and I had one of the workers with me. And I said, "Ranger's bailing." And she turns around and she goes, "Oh, no." And Ranger's like up in the air, you know, flipping.
Uh-huh.
And when she was up in the air, I said this out loud. I says, "You damn well better do your job. That dog better be fine." And I slammed on the brakes and Ranger landed on her feet like a cat.
Oh, God.
And she sat there and then she sat down and she looked at me with this indignant look like,
"Huh.
This is your fault."
Right.
You know,
right.
This is your driving.
Right.
I backed up the four-wheeler. She's still sitting there looking at me with this indignant look. I put the tailgate down on the four-wheeler, and I say, "Get up," and she jumps in the back, and I pet her and I love on her, and all of a sudden she starts barking, you know, like chewing me out.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, slow it down.
Right.
I put the tailgate up, and I said, "Amen." And I got in, and she says, you know, she says, "One of these days, you're going to get struck by lightning, and one of us on the ranch is going to get burnt, too." She says, "If you're going to say disrespectful things about Jesus like this, you need to let me get out first." And she was, like, really being serious, you know.
Right.
Like, you can't say things like that. We got a text here. It says, "In my way, my plans." You know, sure. I think that's good because everybody has goals.
Right, right.
Everybody has plans. Everybody has desires. They want a better car, a better home, more money. They want to do better by their kids. And these seem very innocent and they seem good.
Right.
But yet, look at the choices that we make because of plans.
Yeah, sure.
And let's see if we got any texts yet.
Pretty well chase your tail all day long trying to get to the end of...
We got some texts.
...of your plan. Okay, read the text.
It says... it says Plan B. You know, Plan
that's
B.
That's very good, yeah.
Tell everybody what Plan B is, because we might have some new people that don't know what Plan B is.
Well, when you've got God, He's all you're supposed to need. So Plan B is having other options available, so that if God doesn't do what He said He'll do, then you can go ahead and just lean on what you normally lean on and go do the normal thing that you do. So you get your other options in place just in case God doesn't come through. You know, for those of you that have listened long enough, I mean, that should almost make you irritated just to hear the whole idea of a Plan B, because you're starting to learn that you can actually trust God, that you literally do not have to have a Plan B. In fact, having a Plan B is like having a prenup relationship, you know, when you're getting married, and it just literally it's saying to yourself, I really don't trust this person, so I have to legally prepare myself for a divorce. So what part of that actually has any conviction?
I get in so much trouble over this all the time.
What, this whole thing I just said?
Well, yeah, because people, you know, will say, oh, you're really funny. We'd really like you to come share our day. You know, we're having our wedding. And they'll say, why don't you go to weddings? And I'll say, weddings are just like funerals. Somebody's life is over.
Right.
And the food and the music is the same.
Sure.
And you know, people say, oh, you're just such, you know, you're just, they'll laugh. And they'll say, oh, you're so terrible. And then they'll say, well, you know, we're arguing over the prenup. And I go, what are you talking about? And I'll say, wait a minute. You're going to some building in front of a minister, and you're professing, you know, your vows to God till death do us part, but yet you're already planning for the divorce? I said, what's wrong with this picture? I says, yeah. That's like buying a new car,
right?
But before you buy the new car, you go to a repair center and say, hey, I'm buying a brand new pickup truck. I just wanted you to know I'm buying a new pickup truck. And how much is it going to cost to fix the starter when the starter goes bad? It's like you're self-prophesizing. You're filling yourself with just junk. We're back to the topic, volume. We got one here. It says, too much time on the internet and too focused on silly pains. Well, that the person that sent that one in, that probably suits a lot of people.
Yeah.
We got another one here. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, Ranger, and all the listeners. I really like tonight's topic. Maybe people aren't responding because we are focusing on what you're saying. The things that I need to change are my focus on the body and its aches and getting so involved with the events and tasks of the day.
Right, right.
You know, it sounds kind of funny, but, well, you know this, but they don't. You know, I go to downtown Tulsa a lot, and I hang out with the homeless. You know this.
Right.
I mean, this isn't no big news to Jim, but... I've never talked about a show, but I go to downtown Tulsa where the tall buildings are, and I spend a lot, me and Ranger go down there, and we spend a lot of time with the homeless people. I'll go, you know, like we had a cold snap over the weekend, so I went down there Sunday night with a couple gallons of hot chocolate, and I stopped it at a grocery store and bought like $15, $20 worth of donuts and, you know, just went down there and shot the breeze with them and, you know, pitched pennies.
Sure.
Pitched pennies.
Right.
And, you know, complained about the police and the government, you know, just hung out with them. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I never lock my truck. Nobody ever hurts Ranger. Nothing ever goes wrong. And there'll be 15, 20 people that, you know, smell worse than my barn does and, you know,
right,
we get along
right.
Just fine. But they're not busy. They worry about food, water, and shelter and the police, and that's about it. And they have a lot of time for laughing and a lot of time for conversation and to think about things.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of funny because they look at people that are all dressed up in a car and they'll think, he has to go to work to pay for those clothes and pay for that car. My jacket, even though it isn't mine and I stole it at the bus stop, it's keeping me just as warm as that jacket that his credit rating has to pay for. Isn't that an interesting perspective on things?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm not condoning going to the bus stop stealing clothes, but if you need a coat, go for it. I like this about the events of the day here. Okay, we got another one here. Continue to eliminate options medically and financially.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that one. We got another email here that says, concern for my daughter and grandkids. See, that's a very brave thing to say because you have love for your family and you have an accountability and responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility as a parent. And I don't know if it's true or not because I don't have kids, but they say that no matter how old your kids are, they're always kids to you.
Right.
Is that true?
Sure.
I mean, is your daughter, even though she's in college and she's a woman, do you still see her as a child?
Well, in one sense, I mean, she's always my girl, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
there's something about that that's true.
Well, I always think a Ranger is kind of a puppy, even though she's 8. But I am starting to realize, you know, that she's 8 and she's not 2.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that way about my girls. I'm actually enjoying each phase that they're in and respect them for it.
I don't know who it is, but someone said they spent too much time thinking about having a relationship with the guys instead of actually having one.
Well, that's really good. That's really good.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Nope.
We're getting some good ones here, and I hope we get more texts and get more emails from people. Remember, you can email the show. It's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence, @gmail.com. And also, you can text the show. All you have to do is the first word that you type in your text message is grace, and then send it to 69302. And for the remainder of the show, we're not going to mention anybody's names because we don't want anybody to feel isolated, and we want to make sure that I want people to really think about this and to really be conscious of what's in the way, however you want to put it, because like I said, if they can text it to the barn or they can email it to the barn and they can hear my voice saying it and you and I talking about
it,
well, then maybe that's the leg up. That's the jump start they need to tonight when they go to bed to say, tomorrow morning, I'm starting fresh. I'm going to make sure that I am giving this less credence, less importance.
Right.
We just got a text. If you have no plan B yet have not seen results, what do you do?
Well, I'm kind of mulling that over a little bit here. And only reason why I'm taking some time with it is because maybe you can give us a little bit more information.
Well, it says I'm looking at this, I'll read it again. It says, if you have no plan B yet have not seen results, what do you do?
Yeah, but I mean, you cannot have a plan B but be spinning in circles.
I think, to me, the first time I read this, you know what my first thought was?
What?
No connection to the guys. Because I'll go back to this text. It says, I spent too much time thinking about having a relationship with the guys instead of actually having one. It's right. Like I always tell people, you worry too much about doing your job instead of doing your job.
Right, right.
And I think it's still number one in my book. The number one thing, the saddest, most melancholy, most biggest thing that I think is a heartbreaker is for someone who is going to a building, giving them money, and they're going to this building 3 or 4 times a week, and they're literally getting calluses on their knees from praying, and they're on the phone in prayer groups, and they've got enough prayer cloths.
Right.
They have enough prayer cloths to make a car cover. They sewed them together, and they still have nothing tangible to show that there really is a God.
Yeah, I mean, for everybody out there that's a churchgoer, people that have grown up being in religious services, you have to recognize that, just like I do, the majority of those services have taught you how to spin in circles, how to say the right things but not to enjoy those things, how to have a form of religion but deny the power. That's the verse that Paul talked about. I mean, we've been taught how to do that.
Yeah, you need to say more about this because you're onto something here.
Yeah, well, you know, I really feel strongly about this because a couple of the things that BJ mentioned tonight, and these are the things that I'm learning to do as well, which makes for a wonderful day. Instead of just going through your day like we normally do, and I'm talking to church-going people, where you're praying in other tongues, and that doesn't mean I don't pray in the Spirit, and where you're always saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You know, and you're trying to be religious. Look at the way that BJ put such conviction into real people being with him on a cart. I don't know what you called a four-wheeler or whatever it was that you were driving.
Well, I didn't want to say it's a Ranger because they think I was talking about my dog.
Yeah.
It's made by Polaris is a company.
Right, right.
And they're called Rangers. They're called UTVs. They're like a four-wheeler, but they have a bench seat with a steering wheel and a bed on the back. But they're called Rangers.
So, and I drove that, didn't I?
Yeah, they're fun, aren't
they? That's what I drove, yeah.
Four-wheel drive.
I was whipping around. So, I was. I was going as fast as I could.
Here's the deal.
I enjoyed spinning out on the gravel too.
We were cutting firewood and stacking it for next winter, in the month of March. I'm already getting ready for next winter, and we had Jim literally nonstop on this thing hauling wood back and forth, wood to be cut, wood to be stacked, driving this thing like, and he was driving it like a madman, spinning out, slamming on the brakes.
Had a good time.
Yeah, you were.
That was a good time.
He thought he was in a go-kart.
That's a lot of fun. So it reminded me of being on the golf course, actually. Oh, he just walked out of the, folks, it's me here in the studio all by myself. I'm going to see if we can keep this thing going. I don't know. If we fall apart, you just stay with us, all right, because it's over. He's gone. Woo! Well, I know how to get him out of here anyhow. Well, praise the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and have some real fun now that BJ's gone. So, all right, folks, send in all your texts to me now. Tell me all the things you want to share with me that you've never been able to because you knew BJ was right here and you didn't want to say it in his presence. All right, I'm looking at the text board right now. No one's saying, oh, here comes one. Let's see. No, not yet. I'm waiting for him. Okay, but anyhow, I'm enjoying all that. Wow, it gets lonely. I don't know what it's like. You know, when I'm gone now, I kind of feel what it's like. You just kind of hear all by yourself, crickets and whatnot, but...
No, well, I just left the room to get a scoop shovel and a pitchfork because
see, he's talking again, folks. Don't listen to that. Here we go. I'll go ahead and just finish what I was going
to
say.
No, I left the room to get a shovel and a pitchfork because there was starting to be stuff in here to be shoveled out. I mean, this is a barn. I know what needs to be scooped and put in the manure spreader for the fields.
Yeah. Well, sometimes
I can't believe what you're doing. You really? You just were going to do the show and just take it? Yeah.
Yeah. I was taking over. That was my opportunity.
It says, we got a text here. It says, a longstanding addiction to pornography that I've never been able to completely shake. This was hard to text about.
Okay.
Well,
once you devalue it, that's the whole point of having you text these things, is because the moment you do, you put this whole thing into a different category where no longer does it have importance in your life.
I know someone that it's a woman, and she's about lost her family. She's a stay-at-home mom, so the kids are gone, and her husband is out, you know, farming and ranching and working cows, and so she, you know, besides cleaning the house and laundry and cooking meals and, you know, chickens and goats, she's got several hours during the day. And he comes home and finds her on the computer, on the internet, looking at pornography.
Hmm.
And he's about had enough.
Sure.
You know, and he says, I want to talk to you about this. And I says, I don't care. And he says, well, what do you mean you don't care? I says, I don't care. It's none of my business. I says, you want to talk about cattle? You want to talk about horses? I'm in on it. And I says, but, you know, she told me once, she says, well, it's not like I'm cheating on him.
Well,
you
see,
know, it's the internet.
That's the spin, though.
That's plan B.
Right. Right.
That's the way people rationalize things.
Right, right.
Well, you don't understand. If I don't do this, I mean, I've heard people say this. They'll say, well, I listen to the show, and you're telling me that I shouldn't really worry about my job. Because if I don't go to work, I can't pay the bills, and we don't have money. And I says, really? You really think if you're spending time with Christ that all hell is going to break loose in your life? Because then you'd say, well, I was actually with God. And we were enjoying grace and Holy Spirit, and Jesus was there, and they were right in front of me, and they were as real as you are. And it's really sad because I was fired, and my house burnt down. Does that even make any sense? Is there anywhere in the book that says that when you're not with Christ, things aren't better?
Right, right.
And that just shows the plan B. It shows how full people are and not really doing things. We've got an email here. It says, BJ, you read my email a while ago. I was listening to the show while playing solitaire. Jim, we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend in North Carolina. And this person wanted to say hello to Nick.
Okay.
But anyways, there's still plenty of time to send texts and emails about stuff in your life and how tonight's show is possibly giving you some things to consider.
Well, you know, the Apostle Paul had the same type of thought process, and I can read it here in the Message Bible in Philippians chapter 3. It's the same exact thing we're talking about, and listen to how he does what he does here, and it's all based on what has the most importance in his life, because if we're talking about volume tonight, remember Jesus said, if you're hungry and thirsty, you will be filled, and if you're not being filled which with the things of a relationship, then you're not hungry and thirsty enough. So notice what this says. Paul said, I don't remind repeating what I have written in earlier letters, and I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry. So here goes. Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies. All bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearances. Knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with God's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it, even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. You know my pedigree. And remember now, Paul was a chief Pharisee of Pharisees. And he says right here, a legitimate birth, circumcised the eighth day, an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even down to the point of persecuting Christians, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. And now notice what he says. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. So if Paul were to a text tonight, he would have said, I'm tearing up and throwing out all of my credentials. And he goes on to say, along with everything else that I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, firsthand, Everything I once thought that I had going for me is insignificant, and he says it's dog dung. And basically, that's what Paul's doing here. He's saying that as far as volume is concerned, I emptied myself so that I could be filled with Christ.
Well, and the other thing, too, is I've said this before, most of Paul's letters wasn't really criticizing exactly what the person specifically was doing wrong. I mean, he didn't say that they were robbing banks and right. looting and pillaging.
Sure.
The essence of just about everything that Paul wrote was, you spent time with God. You know God is real. You saw grace do things. What could possibly be as important or special as that?
Right.
No matter how important you say it is, no matter how much you say you need to do it, it's not. And that's really paraphrasing just about everything that he wrote.
Yeah.
It wasn't that it was necessarily egregious or they were a criminal. It was just about time, their life being full. We got another text that says, how about anxiety over the future? I think that is a very good one. Because there's a lot of people that feel that they don't have enough money for retirement. They're not sure. They don't think their job is as secure as it was.
Right.
And it's not because they're doing a bad job. It's just because the overall economy of the world and
right,
the country.
Right. What's going on?
You know, and they talk to the accountant and he says, well, our numbers are down. Our sales are down. You know, nobody's job is safe anymore.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people hear that.
Sure.
Or they think that. And then there's a lot of people that are stockpiling toilet paper and toothpaste because they're worried that, you know, the country's going to fall flat on its face. And they'll have to take care of themselves.
Sure.
And then there's a lot of people that they wake up one morning and they realize that they're not 25 any longer.
Yeah.
And things are slower and difficult and that they're getting older and they start to realize that they may end up in one of those terrible death traps known as a nursing home, care center.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a very valid point. How about anxiety over the future, worrying about have they provided enough for their kids, you know, we got one more email and then I want to say something and then I want you to comment. Here's an email. It says, I like what you're talking about. I think many Christians live like, I like what you are talking about. I think many Christians live life without a connection with grace. There's a superficial relationship, but they never allow grace to be involved in daily life. They only allow grace to make an appearance on Sunday morning and at a building, and yet people wonder why they are stuck in so many areas of life. I like this. This is a nice little email.
Yeah, I think it's good too.
Now, what I want to say is that when you look at all these, they're all really about the same color. They're plan Bs. They're in the way. And whatever you want to call it, I call it negative energy. Positive energy is the guys. Negative energy is hell, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever name you want to call him. Negative energy loves all these texts. Satan, the devil, loves all these texts. The Satan, the devil, hell loves all these emails because these people are doing his job.
Right.
He doesn't have to tempt them. Negative energy doesn't have to sell or convince or force someone to turn their backs on God. All these texts and emails, they're doing his work.
Right. Right.
They're doing it for him. You know, I don't like it when somebody says, the devil's got a chokehold on me.
Sure.
Satan's in the house. We've got to get Satan out of our lives, because that in itself is that excuse is bigger than the rear end on the horses on the other side of this wall in this barn.
Right.
That is stupid, because what you're saying is that you are like a child. You're like an idiot or a fool, that you don't have the ability to understand your life and to make conscious, intelligent choices. That you're just a victim. You're like a sailboat with no rudder, and you're just pushed around the world wherever the prevailing winds push you.
Right, right.
Who wants to be that person?
Sure.
Who looks in the mirror and says, that's me. I'm just a sailboat with no steering.
Yeah,
and I just go where the wind goes.
I think there's so many people that actually have that victim mentality, that they're just subject to their surroundings and they're a part of it, because it's easier to do that nowadays than it is to actually own up to where you're at.
I agree, but I think anybody who takes 2 hours out of their life to listen to your radio show each week, Jim, has got the motivation and desire, and certainly has the attitude to change.
Right.
To say, hold on a second, wait a minute, enough is enough. I'm tired of this, and I'm just not going to do it any longer. Because soon as they do that, soon as they push that out of their mind, it's gone from their heart.
Yeah.
And when it's out of their mind and it's out of their heart, then there's room for grace. Because if they believe they're born with grace, and that all their sins have been paid for by Jesus' blood, then quite possibly this is why they don't have prayers answered.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you remember, those of you that are listening, back in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, it talks about Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit as he was baptized by John the Baptist. And then it goes on over, if you follow the whole progression, you go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, and it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. So notice that the leading of Jesus, or in other words, God directing his life, came from the Spirit being the most recognizable thing that Jesus had in his life. He was full of the Spirit, so he was led of the Spirit. Which says if we're struggling with all these things, it means we must be full of the world and we're being led by the world.
Now, we're down to about the last 10 to 15 minutes of tonight's live show.
Mm-hmm.
So, come on, folks. Let's go here. Ranger, tell him to go faster. Come on. What else? There you go. And remember, folks, dog spelled backwards. Ranger. All right. Now, Ranger's telling you to come on, send us some emails, send us some text messages. She's rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
See, she keeps barking. Can you hear that in your headphones?
Yeah.
Okay. But Ranger is telling you to send texts and to send emails. What is in your way? You are full. You are like a refrigerator. And you can't put fresh, wholesome, delicious food in that refrigerator until you get all that nasty tasting, moldy, unhealthy food out of there. It's just that simple, but only you can do this. You can't ask for help. It's up to you to say enough is enough.
And you have to be confident enough to know that when you make a decision, God is right there to help you. That's the reason why we have the Holy Spirit. Remember, he's the Spirit of truth that will lead you and guide you into all truth, which means basically saying he's the Spirit that will lead you and guide you to the spirit world, to everything about God that helps you to experience him. Well, he's a standby. He's a strengthener. He's a helper. He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's a counselor. And he can be your best friend. And the Holy Ghost is there to help, to strengthen, and to stand by you. But you making those decisions, recognizing, even as the things that have been spoken tonight, that they're in the way, and when you make a decision, expect God to be there to help.
All right, last time, the way you text the show. Come on, fess up, folks. The way you, I sound like I'm selling something.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. There's only 30 seconds left. If you buy one, you get the second one free. And that's not all. There's always that. They always end with, and that's not all. If you want to text the show and fess up, it's first word that you type in your message is the word grace. After you type the word grace, then type what's in your way, that volume. You want to make space, and then you send it to 69302. No one, no area code, just five numbers, 69302. The name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence, at gmail.com. Both of these are on the contacts page. You've got about 10 minutes left to get something into us. What do you think about tonight?
Oh, I think it's another stepping stone to help people to make good decisions, to be more aware of what's going on in the world. And
well, I think we've been pretty clear about things.
Yeah, I think when we give examples, I think it really helps folks, because then they're able to identify with what does it mean, you know, to be filled with the wrong thing. Now, for the most part, most people know when they're putting the wrong thing in them, they can tell the difference. But at the same time, the text of the night was, I've spent so much time trying to have a relationship instead of actually enjoying a relationship. To me, that was the text of the night, because it's so easy when you've been around religious circles to get religious, even with these thoughts.
Right.
You can just slide right back into it, which is trying so hard to make something work when it is by His grace that we're living and experiencing the things that we should experience.
My favorite text was, how about anxiety over the future?
Okay.
Because I think everybody. I catch myself wondering sometimes.
Well, so much more, as the Bible says, so much more as the day is approaching. You know, things are getting winding up here, getting close to Revelations. It's going to be more tough. Let me quickly throw out a scripture here while we're trusting that we're going to get a couple more. And that is over here in Ephesians 5:17. Paul picks up right along the lines, same lines as what Jesus was saying. And he said, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. All right, well, notice what it says. Don't be drunk with wine, or don't put things in you that are of this world, but be drunk or put things in you that are of God.
We got a text that says, why is it that the answer is always so simple and we already knew it, but never thought to apply it to a particular problem? You want to know why? Well, because it doesn't involve heaven and it doesn't involve hell. Now, heaven and hell have no use for this earth. It's all about our spirit, our souls. There's nothing good of the flesh, and there's nothing good of the world. And if Scripture is telling you to poke your eye out and cut your tongue out and cut off your hand if you're going to steal, well, then obviously whatever is in our way, by sheer definition of looking at things this way, has to be really ridiculous and small and unimportant.
Hmm.
Because it doesn't mean anything to heaven, and it doesn't mean anything to hell. It only has tangibility as long as you give it tangibility.
Right.
And that's really ridiculous when Scripture is saying, hey, your flesh doesn't mean anything. You're a spirit being.
Right.
It's
right.
Temporary.
Yeah.
There's no limits and boundaries. You're made in my image. There's nothing good of the world. There's nothing good of the flesh. Well, then obviously, if it's man-made, man-conquered, man-created, then it means it's nothing, which means that it has to be simple. That's how I would answer that.
Sure.
We got an email here that says, my body and its symptoms and what I think the symptoms mean. See, this is what we're talking about.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, I have a headache and I have blurred vision. Maybe I'm having a stroke. You know, the dumbest thing that I think is whenever I log on to my machine every day, because you know, we sell a lot of hay on the internet.
Right.
And my homepage is AOL is the homepage. Well, it's the homepage for all the machines in the barn. Well, anyways, they've at least once a day, there's something that says here's the five precursors to a stroke.
Oh yeah.
You wonder if you wonder if you could have a heart attack.
Heart attack.
If you think you're going to have a heart attack, here's the four symptoms to look for.
Right.
If you think you're getting arthritis, these are the signs of the first stages of arthritis.
Sure.
If you have you ever felt this way? Then you might be getting an ulcer. I mean, all day long.
Yeah.
Every couple of hours, there's a new one.
Right.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Sure.
Is you give that stuff credit and you give it weight, then there's no credit and there's no weight for God.
That's right. Right. Yeah. Very well put. It's good.
Well, I get lucky every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I like it.
Well, right. Okay. Wait a minute. I was going to say we're all caught up, but we got another one that just came in. It says, this is an email, by the way. As a spirit being, it is impossible to love God, but not to be connected to him. God is a spirit, and we are in him. So we must have been dulled by these things in the way, but the reality is that we are completely connected at all times, and the more we simply accept it and relax in it, the more peace and grace we see. So someone just sent that one in. Are you ready to say something to music?
Sure, sure.
Wait a minute, is this an... no, we're all caught up.
You know, I want to say something based on that last... You could play the music while I'm saying it. But based on that last email, you know, there's a legal side to our salvation and a vital side to our salvation. And it just means there's a big difference between what Jesus has done for us and then what you, by your choices, experience. You know, there is a real connection when you accept Jesus as your Savior. But doing something with that is how that connection becomes real and how you can have a real relationship with God. If you spend so much time trying to have that without steps of faith that enjoy it, trust. Include God in everything that you do. And expect things to change. Open up your heart and open up your mind, because God is there all the time. If grace is everywhere, then God wants to do things for you in every area of your life. So tonight, as a result of this show, fill your life with the thoughts of God, with the goodness of God. Fill your mind and your heart with thoughts of your wonderful connection with the Lord Jesus Christ and the reason why everything is going to be great during your day. Don't allow yourself and resist the temptation to look at your flesh and look at the world and be so concerned. But cast your care on the Lord, lift your eyes up to God, and just enjoy Him instead of being fearful. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen.
Well, that was pretty good. That you know, I'm feeling a little more confident about the new equipment we got, courtesy of Dave and Wild Woman Barb.
Yeah, Barb.
Yep.
Yep.
Up in Minnesota.
Yep.
You know who we didn't hear from? We heard from the two sisters and the brother-in-law. We didn't hear from the Outlaw Bikers. Grandma and Grandpa from Morgan Hill.
Nope. And Sue didn't tell us what she was cooking, so maybe next time.
What are you having for supper tonight when you get home?
Aaron does some really good meatballs in a barbecue sauce that are really good.
Are they like little ones or big ones?
Little tiny ones that get kind of, the sauce gets kind of crusty on them.
Yep.
It's kind of nice.
I'm having a huge piece of corned beef with scalloped potatoes. And butter brickle ice cream for dessert.
Wow.
Oh, pea salad.
I bet it's swans.
It is. Pea salad, scalloped potatoes, and corned beef. And then, Yeah, the Swans man was here. I'm getting that boy trained.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, he's driving up to the barn now, and he's even putting stuff on the truck specially for me.
Oh, cool.
I knew it took about three times before I got this guy, you know, squared away.
I wonder if he's listening to the show tonight, because if he is, BJ's got a plan to steal your truck and eat all the ice cream.
He doesn't even know there's a radio station in the barn.
Okay.
He doesn't.
All right.
He's walked by this room before. But see, you know, I keep the door closed for obvious reasons.
Right.
You know, dirt, dust, and everything. We got a text that says, I think people will be surprised when God asks them more about the wasted time than about their specific sins. And then somebody else texts, you can only put so much water in the glass. You choose if the water is clean or dirty.
Well, first of all, God's not going to be asking about your wasted time or your sins.
No.
Number one. But
right.
All of that. And
but
our
tell
choice,
them why. Tell them why.
Well, it's because the test has already been taken by Jesus, and we all passed. I mean, yeah. God's not... He's not holding us accountable to some type of a test.
Well, wasted time is a sin, and sins are forgiven.
Right, but at the same time, I say that, you know, the joy of standing before Him will be to be able to present to Him the evidences and the testimonies that we have of how much we were able to enjoy Him and to help other people with the relationship that we have with Christ.
Well, how do you think we did?
I like the subject. I think it's a good night.
I think we had a lot of emails. We had a lot of texts. I like that when there's a lot of emails.
And I appreciate people opening up their hearts and telling us things that they could see that were in their way. Yep. And the fact that they could means they've identified them. Yep. And that's the first step to allowing grace to do something for them.
Tomorrow night, Hardesty Library?
Hardesty Library. And tomorrow night, we're going to start...
rearranging the books on the shelves?
No, live casting. So we're going to have...
What?
Well, we're going to... Whatever, live streaming, I think it's called. We're going to do the library from 7 to 8 o'clock. So there'll be a video. And we're going to start...
With a camera and everything?
Yeah. So we'll start putting those
and
on our
website. And how does somebody get into that?
I don't know. Just
because...
Stay tuned to the website.
The Abiding Presence website?
Well, I'd like to put those on the Abiding Presence as well as my own.
They're on... Oh, they're not on your... They're on the...
The audio has been on my website, but now that we're going to do some video as well, I'd like to include them on both websites. So, folks, anyhow, what you're hearing is some plans that are coming up, and just stay tuned to the websites, and you'll find out the information needed.
So right now, tomorrow night isn't going to be on the Abiding Presence website. It's going to be on the Jim Huckaday's Ministry website.
Right.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Okay, because I'm on your website, the Jim Huckaday Ministries International. And let's see, we've got the Abiding Presence. Stay tuned for newsletter news and event updates. This is weekly meetings at the bridge. Let me refresh the screen, but I don't see anything on your page yet that...
I just got a message from Todd. It says, we will post a link on Facebook Live. So
it's going to be on the Jim Huckaday Facebook page. Well... You have more people listening to this radio show than ever go to the library. And so what I'm trying to do here is maybe tomorrow night get some people that listen tonight to listen to the library. Because it'll be 7 to 8 Central Time.
Correct.
For an hour.
Yes.
And they have to go to the Jim Huckaday Facebook page.
Right.
And there'll be a link to watch.
Right. Todd, tell me about that. It says, at the beginning of the meeting tomorrow... We will link it, yes. And where is the link, Todd, and where do we find that?
Is he listening to the show right now?
We can get you the link tomorrow. Okay, well, everybody...
Who's Todd? I've never met Todd, have I?
Yeah, Todd and Cheryl. McNutt, that filed the show.
Oh, that's who it is.
Yeah, he's helping us with this.
Okay, so what did he just say? I interrupted you. Say that again for everybody.
Well, he's going to provide a link as we get going here on the show tomorrow, as I get ministering tomorrow at 7 o'clock, he's going to provide a link. So basically, I'm giving you information about what is to come, all right? Now, it may not work for tomorrow night, but just so you know, we're going to start live streaming these, and we'll have an archives so people can get that information. I've got a little bit more here. It says it can be on your pages tomorrow, so on my Facebook page. They'll be able to find it.
Okay,
Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page.
Okay, so tomorrow night around 7 o'clock, you want to go to the Jim Hockaday Facebook page.
Right.
And you'll be able to listen to the library.
Right.
And then also, we just got a text that says, can you update reality classes, Jim? Thanks.
Yeah, we will. I'll have to figure out how many are on. I know where that's coming. That's probably coming from New Jersey. So thanks for saying that again. And we will.
And where are you going to be this weekend?
I'll be in North Carolina.
And we got our last email of the night. It says, we are listening out here. It's from Maple Grove, and this is from Dave.
Okay.
Where's Maple Grove?
It's in Minnesota.
Is it?
Yep.
Is that Dave and Barb?
Yeah.
Well, it's fine. Yeah, that's good. I'm glad they did that. See, usually they say Dave and Barb, Minnesota.
Right.
I didn't know what Maple Grove was. All right. I think we about got everything covered. And unfortunately, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, I've got to change oil in one of the tractors. I won't be able to, Facebook.
You're saying that with such sincerity. You'll close the show.
That's for the golf.
The golf comment?
That's for the golf comment.
Hey, I had fun for a few moments all by myself just getting after it.
Yeah, you know what? I left this room and I spent time with the horses, and you know what?
Oh,
the air was crisper.
Oh, get out of here.
The smell was better with the horses than this room. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable.
Yeah. country air.
All right. Folks, tomorrow night, we hope that you can join Jim at the Hardesty Library, courtesy of Facebook. Thank you for listening to the show. We want to welcome all the people that have just logged on and are new members to the Jim Hockaday family. We're here every Tuesday night live. It'll take me about 15, 20 minutes to get tonight's show recorded and up and streaming. And then it'll be there 24 hours, 7 days a week. Until next Tuesday night's live show, and then it'll go to the archives. So make sure that you take care of yourself and your pets. And Jim, I think the show was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think
good luck
good
tomorrow night.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And remember, folks.
Wow.
What else? We always let her have the last word because dog spelled backwards, Ranger, is what? Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger.